Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and enjoying the summer. I hope the sunshine stuff isn't getting to you. I've had a couple of clients who, again, you know, they say things like, I'm okay until the sun comes out, and then everybody expects me to go and sit by the river or walk by the sea and then have a glass of wine. And oh my goodness, these associations, they're so strong. I really urge you, if this is what's going on for you, to, well, do a few things. You know, number one, go back and have a listen to one of my podcasts where I talk about this. There's one where I talk about this with Susan from Hola Sober, and we talk about, you know, just the whole idea of being in the sunshine and how it does not have to mean reaching for booze. There's also a lot of content within the Sober Club around dealing with cravings. And of course, the podcast I did a few weeks ago where we look at how we can tame our thoughts. It's just thoughts. It's just cravings. It's, you know, it's not a physical thing unless you're, you know, have been at rock bottom and you're, you know, in the first few days of stopping drinking, which is different altogether. But for those of us who are grey area drinkers, have stopped drinking, when these thoughts come in, they are just thoughts. And we really do have to know how to deal with them and how to talk back at them, because mostly it's not true. That thought that says, oh, I can't possibly enjoy being in the sunshine unless I have a drink of alcohol. It's absolute nonsense. You know, what you're really looking for is just that association. You want a nice glass. You want nice company. You want to feel relaxed. You can do all of those things with something alcohol free in your glass. Just don't make the mistake of only having a cup of tea, because then your unconscious mind will get really upset. So choose something lovely in a nice glass. Keep the ritual. Change the ingredients. I'm sure you've heard me say that before. The other thing you'll have heard a lot over the course of these podcasts is me talking about woo-woo stuff. You know, so let's just be clear. I am about as far, you know, down the woo-woo rabbit hole as it's possible to go. But I'm fully aware that not everybody is. And I know you've got to kind of meet people where they are. So, you know, I totally get that. And what I'd love to do more than anything is be relatable and try and introduce these topics without pushing them down your face and without freaking you out. But I have to confess, this week's guest, you know, touches on the woo-woo big time. So just be prepped for that. But, you know, here's my top tip. Be open-minded. Be open-minded. Why would it be that if you don't believe that, you know, there are such a thing as energy healers, there are people that work with energy, why would you not believe that? Challenge yourself if it's a stumbling block for you. I mean, this guest is fantastic. She wears so many different hats. I almost don't know where to start in introducing her, as I say on the piece, but she introduces herself pretty well. She's a really inspirational, incredibly inspirational woman, written lots of books, had a huge amount of success and does some incredible work. So I really hope you'll enjoy this interview. And, you know, as I say, just be open-minded if some of the stuff she talks about is not within your frame of thought before, right? Perhaps from now on it can. I do find that once people stop drinking, they are much more willing to be open-minded. They really are. I think when you're drinking, it keeps you so small and it makes you think, you know, okay, only I am right. My goodness, I've had to do some backpedaling on a whole bunch of things. And that's okay, isn't it? It's okay. Be compassionate with yourself. Accept that you, of course, you don't know everything. Of course, you know, I mean, I used to think all kinds of stuff were true. I no longer do. I'm much more open-minded than I ever used to be. So, yeah, remain open-minded. Just a quick mention before I head into this interview. Again, another plug for our Sober by the Sea event, which is Saturday, August the 19th. In sunny Southend, and then the Champneys retreat is September the 30th to the 1st of October. That's at Champneys in Tring in Hertfordshire. You'll have to message me if you're interested. I don't know if it's on their site as yet. It can sometimes take a while before it gets put on there. Very limited spaces. It would be fabulous to meet some of you in person. Connection is everything. It really, really is. If you haven't thought about it, you know, already, check out the Sober Club. Please think about joining us. It makes such a difference to be connected with like-minded people, as well as the fact that there's a ton of amazing content on there. We have some incredible experts, incredible videos, meditations. I mean, there's everything. You name it, it's there if it's linked in any way to well-being and living your best life, basically. There's also a course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. And the Sober Club really is for you if you're at day one and thinking about stopping drinking, or if you've been sober for 10 years. We're all thinking about the what's next and how we can cheerlead and support each other. So check it out if you haven't already, thesoberclub.com. And now my guest is Sonia Grace. Enjoy the interview. I'm so excited about this interview. My guest is award-winning author Sonia Grace, who is an internationally even known mystic teacher and healer. Sonia, welcome to the show. I'm not going to do a massive introduction because I'd rather just chat to you because, oh my goodness, I don't know where to start. Thank really. You. You've got so much going on. It's fabulous. Thank you for
thank you.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing to chat to us. I suppose maybe before we get into all of your incredible work, we should say that you are 41 and a bit years sober. 42 years sober. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Tell me a bit about that. Yeah. How does that feel? How amazing.
I feel like a child when they say, I'm not six, I'm six and a half.
I know.
42 years is a long time. And yes, I've been sober longer than I have not been sober. You know, I had 10 years from early on until I was 23 that I, you know, I nearly died and lots of really difficult things are happening for me. And I have 42 years of sobriety and my early life, you know, childhood, dysfunctional family, socially acceptable dysfunctional family, and a lot of using time growing up in the 60s, 70s, and being in that groove of everybody's doing drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
Yeah,
I had a you know, death experience as a result of that. And when I did get sober, I was actually studying with my first teacher, and the energy started to change. My whole body started to change. And I got a migraine that lasted 3 days. And I laid on the floor of my house, unable to move. I mean, literally not able to move. And it was very clear. It was like, you know, God coming in and saying, okay, you're going to get the message now. And, you know, the night that I did actually have a death experience and I was brought back by a nurse down the street, I did see God right in front of me, right in my face.
Wow.
Saying, you know, you came here with a very, very important purpose. You're a healer. You need to get it. If you don't get it, you won't survive it. And that's, of course, then when I moved, I went to San Francisco and sat in front of my first teacher. But I didn't get the whole message, which is what brought about, you know, the migraine. It's like, oh, well, you got part of the message, but now you need to get the whole message. So since then, 42 years later, I am really grateful. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about how important it is that we stay in gratitude, because I was going to talk to you about this today. There's such a prevailing feeling of arrogance going on, especially in the spiritual community. And I'm sort of like up to here with it, because people are forgetting our gratitude. We're forgetting that the path that we're walking is not paved with a lot of really shiny, sparkly, golden things. A lot of times it's a difficult path. Even after we get sober, it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage your listeners to remember their gratitude.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, that it's really important to you to get that and that half a year in, because how brilliant that after so many years, it feels so important. I love that. You know, when I was in my sort of first year of sobriety, I remember thinking, oh, you know, well, I wonder if it all kind of goes flat after that first year. Oh my goodness, not at all. It's literally that gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? I wish I had a better phrase for that. But, you know, in fact, I did this little competition. If anyone can give me a better phrase, I'll find them a nice prize, because it really is that gift that keeps on giving. Every single year it gets better, every year. And I love it that people like you, and we hear about celebs and people like Elton John, who've been sober for goodness knows how many years, and Anthony Hopkins.
32. He's got 32 years.
And they talk about it all the time. They talk, you know, I mean, Elton celebrates his soberversary above his regular birthday. How fantastic. And, you know, it really is. I just absolutely love it. It's so impressive and just so powerful. And as you say, just that gratitude every day. I love it. We must talk about some of your work. And honestly, not sure where to start, because there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that you do here. Where shall we start? Tell me a little bit about launch, and I'll ask you questions.
I'll launch and then you ask. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
So for 42 years, I've been a healer. And what that means is I started out as a hands-on healer. And then I worked with over many years, three different teachers, of which then I learned a long-distance healing technique that I do now exclusively. I have clients in Australia, Singapore, Europe, where you are, London. You know, I've got clients all over the world, and I don't have to be in front of someone in order to work on them. And what that means is I'm able to transport. I'm able to transport myself. I call it spirit traveling, and I'll explain that in a minute. I'm able to put myself in front of someone and look at them, scan them. I do a full body scan. I let them know how their lungs look, their liver, their pancreas, their kidneys. And I work on all of this. I'm like an energy surgeon. I've done, you know, the equivalency of triple bypass surgeries. I've got doctors who are clients of mine. I have cardiologists who refer people to me. I have naturopaths, chiropractors. 40% of my clientele are psychologists. And the reason for that is I do really deep emotional processing work. And the difference between me and a psychologist is I'm working on the person energetically while we're doing processing work. So it's felt at a much deeper level, and it actually is sort of making more headway because we're excavating those emotional wounds out of the body. I believe that our process is why we're here. It is absolutely connected to karma. Karma is nothing more than unresolved emotional wounds. So we're here to work through that stuff. And, you know, going back to addiction really keeps us from looking at what our stuff is. Like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I just want to feel good. And so it's intense working with me, because I really hold people's feet to the flame, as the last woman who interviewed me said. She's a doctor, and she really was going down that road of integrity and accountability. And I told her, you cannot do this work without having really committed yourself to the deep inner processing work that needs to be done. There's way too many healers out there that are wounded healers.
Yeah.
And they're not addressing their own stuff. They're just willy-nilly out there telling everybody how the buffalo roam. And, you know, it eventually catches up to them, because a lot of them call me and say, oh, I've got something on me. And of course they worked with someone and got something attached to them. And I clear entities, I clear alien stuff. I take implants out of people's bodies. I mean, I see all levels of the astral plane, from the lowest, marmiest things all the way up to angels and demigods. And I do choose in my daily life through my meditation to stay focused and sort of in that realm of working with angels. That's who I work with. My guides are highly evolved angelic beings, and they've been with me through all my lifetimes. So this is my path. And, I started out as a professional ballerina. I trained in classical ballet and I performed. I was on stage at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival for years and, was an actress and a dancer. And I'm really grateful for that time because it gave me a chance to kind of work out a lot of that stuff that I needed. I got to be on stage. I got to, do my thing. And yet what I found, especially being at the Shakespeare Festival, is I kept working through a lifetime I had in England in the 1500s. And it was perfect. I got to totally dress up and be in costume for it. And I really appreciate that time. It taught me that I needed to be where I am now. And I needed to learn some things, particularly in dance, about time and space. If you know anything about ballet or dance, chaîne turns are really fast turns. You go across the stage and or the studio, wherever you are. And there's the idea of, we all count to eight, or it's 4/4 time, or it's, whatever the music is. So how many chaîne turns can you do to the count of eight? And I was always sort of in the land of physics trying to, like, oh, wow, I can do 16. Oh, I can do 24. I mean, you're changing that perception of time and space. And that's where I arrived as a spirit traveler. In my meditation, when I go in, I do a grounding meditation that is the basis of what I teach everywhere. And I literally experience my body dissolving into grains, granular sand. Just it dissolves and it goes into everything in the room. And it's after that then my guides, high angelic beings, hold their hands out and I take their hand and we go. And I'm able, and it's my soul body, it's my etheric body that's going. So I'm literally leaving my body and I'm going somewhere. I experience rain, I experience cold, I experience, the elements. And we go back in time and it's wild. I wrote the first book, Spirit Traveler, and it's going to some of these sacred sites, including Stonehenge, and really uncovering what happened. Why did it happen? Who built it? What was done here? And I'm just finishing my second Spirit Traveler book. So I'm excited that'll be coming out hopefully by the end of this year. And I have this connection, like I said, when I work on people, I'm able to put myself in front of them. Well, the same is true then in the process of spirit traveling. It's not astral projection, which a lot of people can relate to. It's a whole different process that happens. And I have to be careful. I don't go anywhere without my guides because there's some rather, gnarly things out there, especially in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be a lot of people listening. You're just thinking, I've got no idea what she's talking about. This is completely woo-woo. I don't get it.
Right.
As you say, you have lots of clients who are doctors, psychologists, other therapists. And, what one thing is for sure, as you said, there are lots of therapists and lots of people working with energy or working as healers in some capacity, but they haven't looked at some of the basics, in inverted commas. And just going back to alcohol for a minute, that's one of the things that has really frustrated me immensely. When I look back and I realize all those years that I went to see, therapists and various professionals, I did occasionally say to them, I'm a bit worried about my drinking. And somebody, there were therapists who said, oh, well, I'll clear your energy field. Or one did say to me, oh, you might have an entity. And I mean, I had all kinds of stuff kind of thrown at me. But nobody ever said, oh, okay, well,
Well done you for noticing that. How amazing that you've opened your eyes, because life is so much better without alcohol. You know, nobody ever said that. It was always just a case of, oh, well, you know, I'll see if I can clear your energy field and then maybe try having a glass of water between each glass of wine. Right. And
this whole, for heaven's sake.
But that was the kind of stuff that keeps us stuck. And it is the case with an awful lot of therapists and healers, I'm sad to say, because yeah. What I'm getting to is you know, I know you'll absolutely agree, is that alcohol lowers your vibration. It means that you are not able to be in touch with right. With spirituality, with energy. And I know right. it kept me stuck for so many years. I knew all of the stuff on paper. You know, I was a Hay House author. You know, yeah. I absolutely knew it all, but I couldn't experience it for me because alcohol was in the way. It was literally in the way.
So this is really, really important, because I feel, you know, like a bit of an albatross in my industry. I'm one of the only healers yeah. I know who has 42 years of sobriety.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have really stuck to that because, you know, well, we have God talking to me. And then we have the fact that my filters need to be clear in order to even try to do the work that I do. Mm. You know, the fact that I have people who, I had a guy who was on his way to surgery, 2 hours before surgery, had blockage in his heart. His wife calls, please, can you work on him before he goes in? I went in, cleaned out the artery, put a stent in, everything got back, you know, looked good. He went in, they opened him up, and the doctor said, well, there's no blockage here.
Oh, wow.
Put him back together. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that happens. Those things can happen. But the difficulty that people face today, in my humble opinion, is we are a highly addicted society.
Yeah.
If it's not alcohol, it's pot. If it's not pot, it's pharmaceuticals. If it's not that, it's drink. It's shopping. It's gaming. It's texting. It's the internet. It's all these things that really dial us in our brain on an addiction level. And yeah. so when I'm working with people, I had a woman who called me the other day and said, oh, my husband, he drinks too much. And, you know, I'm really worried. I'm scared. My child, blah, 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 this whole story. And, you know, I worked on them and I did clear them, because I do that. There were lots of entities that happens with people who are drinking. I cleared them. But my message to her was, he needs treatment now. You need to get out of there now. I'm very practical when it comes to, you know, impending danger.
Yeah, yeah.
and what people need. And I'm the first one to tell someone, if I see something in their body, you need to go get a scan. Mm. You need to go see your doctor and then come back to me and we'll work on this.
Yeah.
Because it all works in concert. There is no, oh, I fixed the whole thing. I mean, I've got cancer patients up the yin yang that are, you know, dealing with their oncologist, they're working with me, they've got their acupuncturist, they go to, you know, vitamin C infusion therapy. I mean, there's all this stuff working in concert.
Yeah.
So I hear you on the, okay, you know, no one's really addressing what the problem is. And I, again, being someone who comes from long-term sobriety, I just use the word feet to the flames, man. I call it out.
Yeah, totally. And now I know you've said that, you know, you think we should learn to manage our energy, you know, as we learn to manage our physical bodies. How can we start to manage our energy for someone who's brand new to all of this? Where do they start? You know, someone who's perhaps been sober for a little while, right. and they're starting to become aware, okay, there is something else. You know, what can they do? Where can they start?
Well, I have a grounding meditation that is the foundation of my work. And it's on my website. There's me on a film talking you through it. There's an MP3 download. Mm-hmm. It is connecting your energy centers through a cone of energy down into the earth. And I talk you through it. it's a practice that is phenomenal because it is redirecting what we normally do with our energy. For example, someone's walking down the street, you got a whole bunch of people passing you on the street, but everybody notices that one person. And you're looking at that one person going, God, what is it about them? Because maybe they're not super attractive, but there's just an energy about them. And if you can see energy like I can, what you would see is their second chakra, their belly chakra energy going out and connecting with everyone on the street. So you're looking at them like, wow, you know, and they've just got that sexual energy going out towards everyone. And you have no idea, most people, what's coming at you. So what I teach is when we ground that energy and we're receiving earth energy up into our bodies, we're actually much more aligned with what we're here to do. We're much more aligned. It doesn't mean we're not sexual anymore. It means that we actually have more energy. And yeah. That's the thing that people are forgetting with the planet is she's the reason we're here. She is why we came here. And the fact that our bodies are 60% water and her body is 71% water, and water is the connector of all things in the universe. My God, connecting our energy into the earth is like, you know, it's like putting a superpower on your car, you know, like, whoa, now you can go.
So a really simple exercise would just be take your shoes off and stand on the earth, right? That's the starting point.
You know, actually, one exercise I do that really helps people is to imagine a river of water running through the top of your head, down your legs, out your feet, into the ground, down your arms, out your hands, into the ground. And you just let that water wash anything that doesn't need to be there. Yeah, that's a good one. Down into the earth. And then change the color of the river and let it fill up your whole body. And that way you're kind of cleansing yourself, you're grounding into the earth, and then you're changing the color so that you're getting what you need.
Yeah.
You know, it's all coming from source.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us a little bit about your background, some of the sort of work that you've done. And I know that you're considered a medicine woman on the Hopi reservation, which won't mean a lot to many people, but I'd love just to hear a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been involved in the past.
Sure. Well, my heritage is I'm half Norwegian and I'm half native Choctaw Cherokee. I'm adopted on the Hopi reservation. I'm married to a Hopi man, and the Hopi reservation is a small reservation in Arizona where I live. That is surrounded by a bigger reservation, which is the Navajo Reservation. Most people know about Native Americans because they saw Dances with Wolves and they relate to natives from that film. You know, they're Lakota Sioux natives. A lot of people, even in this country, believe that because of that film, Native Americans are something of the past. They don't exist. But they are alive and well and thriving. And it's really an important thing. I wrote a piece in my weekly free Earth Angel message that goes out about freedom. I was really contemplating what freedom means to us. And I started off with the fact that during the Indian Wars, there were over 12 million Native people killed. And, you know, we always tend to look towards World War II and the atrocity of how many Jews were killed. And that is important. And that's really hard to still carry, even though it's 80 some years later. But Native people, I mean, they're all over the United States. And, you know, there's not a lot of accountability in this country for that atrocity. I love going to Europe because there's monuments everywhere to World War I and World War II. It's like, you guys don't forget. And I wish there was more of that here in the States.
Yeah.
My background tends to be more on the Native side because I'm involved. You know, I'm adopted at Hopi, and I work on a lot of people on the res, and yet my Norwegian heritage is very alive and well. I wrote a book and did a set of oracle cards called Odin and the Nine Realms, because I had some really profound experiences in my spirit travels to different stone circles and sites in Norway and met up with all the Norse gods. So what I want to say now in respect to the things that I'm sharing with you is we tend to relate to things based on what we've experienced.
Yeah,
so for example, if I'm talking about meeting the Norse gods, maybe one of your listeners has had a weird moment in their grandmother's house and they thought they saw their grandma, you know, a ghost.
Mm.
And that's their point of reference. My point of reference, where I come from, is like really, really different than what most people will relate to. Oh, I had a tarot card reading. That's what I can relate to. Or, you know, I go to church, but I feel there's something more. That's what they relate to, which is great. But in the idea of understanding someone like me and all the things that I have, I'm capable of doing, there has to be a point where a person steps outside of their own box and expands their consciousness and says, wow, okay, there are people on the earth that can do these things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Really well explained. I love that. And I know that you run a meditation peace project. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Once a month, I hold a Zoom meditation peace project where I take the group into a very deep state of peace. And we expand our peace so that it literally wraps around the world. There's healing that takes place during this. The angels come in and do healings on everybody. We put the world community in a circle and the angels do a healing on them. We're really the goal, and what I do is I talk people through the grounding meditation. Is my goal is to help people learn what that space, that inner peace really is, so that can be the go-to place that you opt out for instead of I've got to go have a drink, or I've got to go shopping, I've got to get on my phone, whatever that addiction trigger is.
Mm.
It's like, no, I'm going to go into my inner peace now. And it is something that is learned, in my opinion. It's something that it helps to be directed where that is and how to expand it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So just tell us where people can find your stuff then. Obviously, you've got your book, Spirit Traveler, Dancing with Raven and Bear, which I know have won Beverly Hills Book Awards. You've got an Earth Angel training course. That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oracle, Odin and the Nine Realms. And then I'm guessing everything is at sonjagrace.com. Is that right?
It is. It is. And it's sonjagrace.com. And you and I must be related.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Feels that way. Definitely.
Both of us being a grace.
Yeah. Well, I'll put all that info in the show notes anyway. It's absolutely fantastic to talk to you. I'll have to have you back, actually. I think you'll have to come back and we'll do something else. Yeah, let's come back
on and
we'll dig deeper into one of these kind of angles of the stuff that you do. That would be fantastic.
I would love it.
Love the sound of everything you're doing, and congratulations again on your amazing years of sobriety. It's just wonderful.
Thank you
so much for being a great guest, Sonja. I appreciate it.
So that was something, right? I'm going to put the links to Sonja's work on the show notes. As already mentioned in previous podcasts, we do offer family constellations. I work with a leading trauma expert. Sometimes, you know, we need to do something that shifts the entanglements that just helps us have a new perspective. And Family Constellations and the one-to-one work I do with Matrix Reimprinting is just amazing for all of that. It really is. So get in touch if that's of interest. Check out the Sober Club. Don't forget the events that we've got coming up. And another plea for your favourite podcast episodes. Some of you have listened to all of them, right? Not far off 250. It's incredible. I can't believe I've been doing it this long. But, you know, I always said, as long as I've got great guests who are willing to talk to me, I'll carry on. So let me know if you've got any ideas for guests and drop me a message and tell me what your favourite podcasts were in the past. Or even if you can't remember the name of the interviewee, then you can say, oh, it was the one about highly sensitive people, or it's the one about ADHD, or it was the one about whatever. and let me know, and I might clip a few, and we'll do a little bit of a mashup of some of the clips from your favourite episodes. And really looking forward to meeting some of you at our 250th live podcast recording. The tickets are sold out for that one, but I will do another live podcast recording and meetup. We'll plan that for early, maybe late September, early October. So drop me a message if that's of interest as well. I'm very easy to find at Janie Lee Grace. Follow me on all the social media bits. If you want to support this work, maybe you don't want to join the Sober Club, that's not for you, but just check out one of the other ways that we have, a give back fund, which supports people who can no longer afford membership in the Sober Club or need emergency coaching. And you can also go to buymeacoffee.com/Janie Lee Grace. But always remember that I would much rather have a coffee with you in person. So if that can ever happen, I look forward to it. Stay connected. Reach out. If you're doing this and it's, you know, you're just starting out and you haven't even told anyone, you can tell me, message me. I will reply if I possibly can. It's really important to tell someone. Don't hole up and be isolated. Just let someone know. This is the best thing you will ever do for your health and well-being. So go for it. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability, and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.